you got to just get back on the horse and go for it, you know? So I'm getting back on the horse and just the people I used to love, the Zig Ziglars and the motivational speakers and all the self-development books I had read were my heroes. They had made me class president, voted most likely to succeed, homecoming king, all these great things when you're a young man. And now I'm reading those same books, listening to those same audios, and just pissed off, angry, despondent.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Doug Crow. Doug's won the Dale Carnegie Highest Achievement Award, traveled to 42 countries and all 7 continents, including Antarctica. He's a pilot, scuba diver, father of 3, and to top it all off, he's authored several number one bestsellers and hosted numerous radio shows in Chicago. But he also faced 19 foreclosures in 2008. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I wanted to say thank you for all the ways you offer support, whether that's leaving a review, sharing the show with a friend or family member, or going and supporting me directly on Patreon. That's a huge help. It takes a lot of money, time, and energy to make this show happen. So you can go to patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Remember, Williams is WILLIAMNS. That's patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Or just click the first link in the show notes and it'll take you right there. Enjoy the show. Doug Crow, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Of course.
Fantastic. So we're going to talk about 2008, which I feel like we were talking beforehand about how that's a pretty good shorthand for something sucky happened. So tell us your story here.
Well, like a lot of people, you know, 2007 was a gangbuster year. 2006-7 was great. I was in the industry called real estate investing, which, of course, did very well in the 90s and early 2000s. I did so well, in fact, I started a school about investing. I had the nation's only semester-based real estate academy. I had a radio show that I hosted on ABC Radio in Chicago. I had bought an airplane. I was flying around doing talks, and it was, you know, life was great. Then 2008 happened. And it was a wake-up call because nothing had ever seriously bad happened to me in my entire life. So I was a little bit naive. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, had similar issues. I'm not unique in this regard. A lot of people went through a foreclosure or maybe two. And not to say that my tragedy's worse than yours or anything like that. But I did have 19 foreclosures that I had to suffer through. Personal bankruptcy, divorce. For anyone who's ever, like, had, you know, major trauma in their life, sometimes you think about doing something, you know, kind of stupid, you know, making that permanent solution to a temporary problem. And most of the times the thought of suicide comes and goes in a quick instant. You go, that's stupid. I'm not that. And during this phase of my life, it was not a fleeting thought. It started to linger often, frequently, and for longer periods of time. And I wasn't scared of it. I was just so, the pain, emotional pain for some reason is worse than physical pain. I've had both in my life. And the emotional pain of the absolute trauma of being a man in his mid-40s, totally devastated, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Everything was just wiped out. I was a shell. And, you know, thankfully, I didn't do it. Obviously, I'm here. But bouncing back from that broken bulb of a life, didn't happen overnight. You know, I've read all the same self-help books everybody else has, right? Oh, most millionaires have been broke 2.2 times in their life, and you got to just get back on the horse and go for it, you know? So I'm getting back on the horse and just the people I used to love, right? The Zig Ziglars and the motivational speakers and all the self-development books I had read were my heroes. They had made me, you know, class president, voted most likely to succeed, homecoming king, all these great things when you're a young man. And now I'm reading those same books, listening to those same audios, and just pissed off, angry, despondent. And it was a very, very strange awakening after 9 months of clinical depression. I'm just driving down the road, you know, trying to get back on that horse, but just too angry and upset, depressed to even realize it. And I'm putting CDs in, nothing's resonating with me. I just, you know, angry. I pop one CD in, Alex, and 9 months of clinical depression gone in like 6 seconds. I'm like, whoa, who is this guy? I push the button to pop the CD out. As the CD is coming out, I go, oh no, I know who this guy is. It was me. It was my CD. It was my goal setting CD I created for my former real estate investing students. I don't know what I said in the CD. It wasn't the content, actually. It was a context. It was the fact that it was my voice speaking in that positive, you know, you can do it attitude that somehow triggered me and go, whoa, you're back. You know, don't get on medicine. Don't kill yourself. Get back on the horse. It's so easy to say these things to you know, to be a rah-rah cheerleader. But when you're going into depths of depression, I'm sorry. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I was on a podcast last week. They talked about, the lessons we've learned. And most people say, I wouldn't trade that lesson for anything. I'm like, I would. I have to be grateful for it, but I'm not looking forward to the next one. And there are always going to be a next one, right? We're always recovering or going into something traumatic. But I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. No, I didn't. But I did work my way out of it, and it didn't happen overnight like I would have liked it to. But eventually I did, you know, come back and succeed and start a publishing company and, you know, have a staff, employee, and everything's going very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I find it interesting that you heard yourself, because being a podcaster, I get to hear myself a lot. And I, you know, listen. And as I'm listening to a podcast I recorded months and months ago, I think, did I say that? You know, that was a conversation I had.
Man, I'm smarter than I think.
Yeah. You get a bit of a bit of a wake up call and realize that it's not just someone shouting at you. It's yourself. You're kind of having that inner monologue. Was there that sort of conversation going on with yourself to help you work your way out of that?
No, it was a false conversation, because when I was going through that major life-altering trauma, I had the same books. I had the Dale Carnegie, you know, book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and Think and Grow Rich, and Magic of Thinking Big, all these books that made me who I was. When I went back to them, it was just the words had changed. Now, the words hadn't changed, but my perspective was so tarnished by my trauma, I couldn't see it. I was literally blind to those words and the ideas and thoughts and feelings behind them. It took my old voice from the old days to go, whoa, Doug, snap out of it. Because my doctor had prescribed, you know, medication, and being a pilot, I'm like, no, I don't want to take anything. I'll just tough it out. And for 9 months, I was toughing it out by not getting out. And it took that switch of my own voice to really snap me out of it. And it didn't happen. I didn't make $1 million the next day, right? It took me several years to get back to, not living in the basement of my foreclosed home and actually getting a house. But I was at least out of the ditch and digging up.
Yeah. And what kind of activities? Because, I mean, maybe somebody's listening to this right now and they're in that ditch, right? Maybe they're living in the basement of their foreclosed home right now. What kind of activities did you get up to day to day in order to really start moving your way out?
It was very important, as any therapist or person will tell you, to have movement. You've got to actually move. And you can call it exercise. At the time, I couldn't exercise, but I was moving. I was going for walks. And I ended up, obviously, I lost a lot of weight. And exercise is important because there's a lot of physiology with movement and endorphins, whatnot, by physically exercising.
Yeah, I like this idea of motion, right? Like, get moving physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Like, do something, just little steps, baby steps, get started.
We are our body. I mean, we're not a tree, right? We're designed for motion. And, you know, muscles atrophy for a reason. If they're not in motion, they're going to die. And that could be a slow death. But if you're mentally depressed, it's going to affect your body too. So the only way to jumpstart that is just get in motion. So walk, run, jog, move is all I tend to do, just to get up and move.
Of course, at the end of every episode, I like to hear what's working for you now. What are you up to now? Obviously, you've kept moving. You've kept working your way out of that foxhole. Where are you now, and how can people get involved with you and the work you're doing?
Thanks. As a lot of people do when they're going through things like this, they decide to write a book about it. You know, so I wrote a book, and it was a success book. As I'm crawling out of bankruptcy, I'm writing a book about success. So it was awful, and I learned how to improve the quality and marketing of publications, and that's my company now. I've got a full time staff of a couple dozen people. I'm sorry, 7 full time and a couple dozen part timers, and. Yeah, we've done over 275 number one Amazon bestsellers for people who don't have the time or team to write. We've got a ghostwriting journalism team to help people create their book. And a lot of people think about writing a book, but they don't have the bandwidth or even the idea clarified to do that. So I've got a very unique thing they can do. They can go to go.realbestseller.com, and we do a complimentary assessment for them on their idea, a marketing plan, to see if a book is a good idea for them or not.
I love it. That's awesome. And I'm going to have links to that and the rest of your work anywhere people can go and find you down in the show notes so they can check you out. And with that, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Alex.
And thank you for listening. We are designed for motion. I like to go for walks, and maybe it's something different for you. Regardless, move, mentally too. All this will help you through the tough times. Special thank you to Doug for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, including his special offer, which I've linked down in the show notes. And if you want to offer your support beyond leaving a review and sharing the show, please visit patreon.com/AlexWilliams, or just use the first link in the show notes. As a thank you for your support, you'll get a postcard from me from wherever I happen to be to wherever you are. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio. We are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.